Certainly thankful for the prayer that was offered up and for the song service. Would ask that you would continue to pray for me and pray for one another, that God would bless his word to be proclaimed to the glory and honor of his name, and that we might be edified. It's always a desire in my heart that God's word would be of a great benefit to his children. I believe that's why the gospel of Jesus Christ was given to us. You know, we believe it is good news and good tidings. We don't believe that the gospel is a means whereby that you became a child of God. It's not what born you of the Spirit of God, but that this book was written because you are a child of God. It's like a manual of how we're to live and conduct ourselves here in this life. Very thankful that you're here, and I want you to understand that Jesus said, Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, he said that Jesus had suffered for us, but he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. If he left us that example and we're trying to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ, then I ask you today, how important is the example that you set in life? As parents, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as grandparents, do you take all of God's word in a serious state? Are you really an example? By being here in church, in the house of the Lord, you're an example to someone maybe that doesn't come to church. And maybe you think that makes no difference. But I believe we're to continue to be examples. We're to be lights that shine in a dark place. And a lot of people today, God's people, lights are not shining very brightly. And I'm not here to say we got the brightest illuminating light of anyone. But when you do what God says, you're closer to walking in his light than you are when you disobey or walk in a way that's not according to the word of God. I want to read a verse from 1 Timothy chapter 1 and move on. Verse 17, it says, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." The only purpose that you and I were created upon this earth for was to honor and to glorify God. He is eternal, from everlasting unto everlasting. And many people would deny today, but our Lord reigns as King. There are those folks in this world who believe he's coming back to reign and rule as king upon this earth again. I don't believe that. I believe he is a king of kings right now, and he reigns and he rules from his throne in heaven. There's no doubt that that's what God's word teaches. He's immortal. We're told by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 that one day this mortal body will put on immortality. One day this corrupt body will put on incorruption. And that day is coming, because he's the immortal, invisible, and the only wise God. That's the phrase that I want to look at this morning. The thoughts that are on my mind have to do with wisdom. He is the only wise God. There are no other gods. There are pagan gods by the thousands, created gods in the minds and hearts of people, wood and graven statues all over the world, and yet those gods have no wisdom, they have no power, they have no life to deliver. There is only one true and living God, only one wise God, only one eternal God. The Bible says much about wisdom. Now, that's what we want to talk about this morning, if God would bless us. We notice here in the book of Job, chapter 28 and verse 28. "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom." What does that mean? Does that mean that you're terrified of God? No, it means that if you truly have godly wisdom, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning, there is a wisdom known of this world, found in this world, that is not God's wisdom, but it's philosophy and it's man's wisdom. But it says here, "The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." Now, one thing that you and I sometimes have a problem with, we talk about evil and or wickedness, and that just sounds like a word that Christians would not have. It would not be a part of their life. But let me tell you, any unrighteousness is evil or wickedness. Did you know that? Because God is an all-righteous God, not only an all-wise God, an invisible God, an immortal God, but he's an all-righteous and an all-holy God. Therefore, any sin or any unrighteousness, no matter how small you may think it is wickedness or evil in the sight of God. To depart from evil is understanding. Now, some might ask what wisdom really is. The world will tell you that wisdom is knowledge. If you get educated enough, if you read enough books, if you go to school enough, that you're going to be wise. Many people, including the Greeks of old, believe that philosophy was wisdom. But I tell you, I believe that it's a far cry from what the Bible says godly wisdom is. The definition of wisdom is the ability to rightly use or exercise the knowledge that you have. You know, some of the wisest people that ever lived with godly wisdom were not the most educated people that ever lived. Matter of fact, some of the most educated people that ever lived were some of the biggest fools that ever walked in this life. You know, they're educated to a great extreme. They have all this knowledge, and yet they deny that there's a God in the heavens. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The opposite of wisdom is really foolishness, and we're going to look at that today. And wisdom is so important, and yet I think sometimes we take it so lightly. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, and unfortunately this doesn't just pertain totally to young folks, but it says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Unfortunately, I can show you many individuals who are many years older than children that still act childish, that are still filled with foolishness. You know, the non-elect, those who are not God's children, say there is no God, and that is foolishness. But the Bible was written, as I begin this morning, not to the non-elect. It's not the means whereby we become children of God or we become a part of God's family. The Bible was written to those who are God's family. They are written to us that are already born of the Spirit of God, because the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Mean, if you're not born of the Spirit, you'll never understand spiritual things. If someone doesn't love the Lord, their God, our God, the only true and living God, you'll never bring them to a point to make them love God. Life always precedes action. Unless they're born of the Spirit of God, they'll never have any desire for God or anything to do with God. So we need to understand that it is written to God's children, those that are born of the Spirit of God, and wisdom is so important. It's so necessary. It is so true that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And I'll be the first to admit that I probably carried that long beyond childhood. I didn't see the importance of God. I didn't see the need to worship God every day. I tell you, many young people are that way today. When you find a truly wise young person, you found a jewel in the Nile, as they might say. You really have. You found somebody that is different. It's understanding what God says and what life's about. Let's notice what it says in Psalms 119 in verse 9. And this is so important that we'll keep this thought in mind as we go forward. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Where shall a young man, a child of God, cleanse his way? It says, by taking heed thereunto according to, in agreement to thy word. The Word of God is what cleanses us along our way through life. It's taking heed unto it. It's being in agreement with it. You know, our young people, and I know I certainly was this way, I needed wisdom, and I didn't even seek out wisdom, because most young people believe they know everything. They really do. I remember those days when mom and dad knew nothing, grandparents knew very little. They were out of tune, out of time, and out of touch. You know, they didn't realize that there is something that they needed that only can come from God. Now, I believe the Bible teaches us that there are godly men and godly women, those who have been trained in the Word of God and have sat under the sound preaching of the gospel, who studied God's Word, are people that we can go to and we can get wise counsel from. But it begins with God. It begins with God. We're going to go look, and we're going to find something interesting about Solomon. We all know that Solomon was a very wise man. I believe when we begin to look at wisdom, that there's some characteristics you'll find about a man who truly has godly wisdom. First of all, I believe he's a man of a very humble spirit. People who want to talk a whole lot and tell you how everything is, and they have an answer for everything in life, and they know it all, are generally not going to be found among the wisest of people. You know, we're told in the book of James that a man, I believe, that is wise is swift to hear and slow to speak. In other words, he's of a quiet spirit. He's of a humble spirit. Humility is something that is hard for us to obtain or to keep up sometimes in our human nature. It's not the carnal nature that we have to be humble and be filled with humility. But let's notice, sometimes young people find this. Now, I want to make a point. I know some people that aren't young anymore, and foolishness is with them just like when they were a child. And the Bible tells us about folks like that. But there's a great benefit to God's wisdom. Now, when we get over to 1 Kings chapter 3 and begin in verse 7, we find some interesting language concerning Solomon. Solomon was about to be king, placed as king in Israel instead of his father David. It says, "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I know, and I am but a little child, I know not how to go out or come in." This is a man of humility. He said, "I've got this great task ahead of me right here. This is challenging. He was 18 or 20 years old when he became king over Israel. He said, "How in the world can I deal with this situation? I can't imagine the fear and the difficulty he thought about of being king over the nation of Israel, God's chosen people." But I believe this shows that he was very humble. He said, "Lord, I'm but a child. I'm but a child. How can I know what to do?" You know what he done? He sought out God. Just like you and I. Young folks, I'm going to tell you, when you're raising your children, when you're looking at the world, you need to seek out the Lord. I'm going to tell you, there's not many wise people. It says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." I tell you, that's the hardest challenge you and I'll ever have, but that's the wisest thing you'll ever understand. You can't be like the world. You can't walk in the same course as the world and be different. And when you find a man who brings his children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, a man who seeks God's counsel in his word about training his children, bringing them to the assembly of the saints. You know, we're commanded to attend church. A lot of people don't believe that's a command, or they don't pay any attention to the command, but we are. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. I said this morning, it's your example. You ought to be here for the entire song service. You ought to be here for the entire prayer. Every time we meet together, you're an example unto someone. You're an example unto your friends, your neighbors, your children, your grandchildren. Your example goes a long ways in how these young folks will be when they grow up. If it wasn't important to you, I'll tell you right now, it won't be important to them. But a young man ought to begin cleansing his way by taking heed thereunto according to thy word, in agreement with thy word. That's where it begins. We seek God's wisdom first, and then we can seek godly counsel, young folks and old folks alike, from God-fearing men and women who have continued to serve the Lord all the days of their life. They're a great blessing to us. They got a purpose in the church. The older folks have been down that road and walked in those ways. You know, Solomon said, "There is nothing new under the sun." But I tell you what, when we're young and foolishness is bound in our hearts, mom and dad and other folks older than us know nothing, for the most of us. They don't understand what we're going through. They're out of time, out of tune and out of touch. The times that they're living in are so different. At least that's what we thought. As we get older and we look back, we begin to see that there is nothing new under the sun. The devices that we come up with, the thoughts we have in our own heart, they're no different. Doesn't matter how times have changed, the human heart has never changed. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The God of heaven knows it. So wisdom is extremely important. It's what I believe separates us, or can separate us from the world and from many of God's people who walk down the course of this world. You know, we're told of two ways. We're told that the Word of God can cleanse the way of a young man, but we're told that there are two ways that God's children partake in Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount. One is a broad way. It's a wide gate and a broad way, and you know where that leads. It leads to destruction. It leads to misery and pain and not the bountiful blessings in life that we'd had. And there's another way that's straight and narrow, that's lightly traveled. You know, it's those who seek God's wisdom, those who draw nigh to God and God draws nigh to them, and they walk in His ways and they honor Him all the days of their lives. They bring their children to church. They teach their children at home. They understand the importance of God's Word in their life. I'm telling you, God's Word is so important and yet put at a distance so often in our lives on a daily basis. We're busy, we're working, we're tired, we don't like to read or whatever your excuse is just like mine. I have them too. I don't read enough and I don't study enough. But I tell you, there is nothing more important than the wisdom found in God's Word. Do you know that the word wisdom, wise, wiser, understanding is a synonym for wisdom, and prudence is found nearly 1,000 times in the Bible. Tell me it's not important. It's extremely important. Wisdom teaches us about life. We're told in the book of Ecclesiastes, wisdom by Solomon teaches us the meaning of life. You know, Solomon said, if you live your life apart from God, your life is meaningless. There is no real meaning in it. James said, your life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. You know, life when you're young, I remember when I was young. I mean, I'm not very young anymore, but I remember I thought it'd go on from now on. And then a few days passed, and here I am. That's about how fast life goes. Just think about it. Here we are already into February, and it seems like Christmas just passed. I mean, it's just, you know, the older you get, the faster it goes. Time is here. We're here today, and we're going to be gone tomorrow. What's important in life? Is it all the noise and the racket and the things that you like to do out there in life? I tell you, we can do some of those things and we can enjoy some of those things, but we should always have the Lord first. A man should cleanse his way. You're an example to every person that you come and encounter. And I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be illuminated in your life in every way by example. The Sabbath was made for us. Did you know that? We're to set apart time. We're to put away the things of this world completely to honor and worship Jesus Christ. I tell you what, there's nothing more important than life. Because I tell you, all the noise that's going on out there, just noise, and it will cease to be. It's not important. We place so much importance on things that are not important, it's ridiculous. Life should be about the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he said if a man doesn't work, he ought not to eat. But you ought to never get to the point that things in this life have become more important than the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon here in a very humble way said, I know, I am but a little child, I know now not how to go in and to come out. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Here he was, 18 to 20 years old, and he's fixing to reign as king over this great nation. I can't imagine a man having never been king, probably never knew anything about kingship except what he learned from his father David, but his father David is on the run so much, I'm not sure just how much he learned, but it had to be a fearful thing. But we find that Solomon turned unto God, and he said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? This is all that Solomon asked for. We're told in 1 John chapter 5, if we have this confidence, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. I'm going to tell you right now what Solomon just asked, for a wise heart and for the ability to understand, the ability to judge and discern and to guide the children of Israel, was in accordance with the will of God. We know that Solomon had his petitions before God. We see him in a very state of humility here, knowing he could not lead this great nation of Israel, God's chosen people, if God was not going to help him in a mighty way. He needed that help. And that's where you and I need to go, not out to the counselors of this world and to things that are in this world. And we'll look at those here shortly. And the speech pleased the Lord. that Solomon had asked this thing. Now, I'm not going to go into the rest of this, but we know that Solomon was granted wisdom. Notice verse 12. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee, save the Son of Man, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There never has been a man that has the wisdom of Solomon before him or beyond him, according to thus saith the Lord. And I believe that. There's no one, I don't care how wise some man tells he is, how much philosophy he's read, how much studying he's done, it will not compare to the wisdom that Solomon had. You know, his first act of wisdom is an amazing thing to me. As soon as he was granted this wise heart and this understanding heart, there were two harlots, two women come to him, and they both had babies, newborn babies basically. One of them rolled over on its baby that night and smothered it to death. She, knowing that the baby was smothered, she went and stole the son from the living son from the other mother, the other harlot, and she exchanged the babies. When the mother woke up that had the living son the next morning, a mother always knows her children. You're not going to hide that, and you're not going to fool them. So this issue was brought before Solomon, and they both made their case. The woman whose baby had died claimed that the living baby was hers. The woman who had the living son claimed that the dead baby was the other woman. And you know the story. So Solomon told his servant to bring a sword, and we'll cut this baby in half. I'll give half of it to this woman and half of it to this woman. And the woman whose son was alive said, no, it's not mine. Give it to the other woman. She had rather lose her son as for him to lose his life. And the other woman said, no, go ahead and cut it in half. Give us each half of it. Well, Solomon, in his wisdom, knew who the real mother was. Solomon is a wise man. He wrote three books of the Bible. He didn't write them. They were under divine inspiration. But he was the human author of three books that are filled with wisdom and beauty and understanding, being Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon. You know, Proverbs is what Brother George said young people ought to always read to help them through life. And there's so much truth in that. So many of our young people today are caught up in the world and the things of this world. You know, it's amazing how, as I preached some time ago, that we get all enamored in beauty. The Lord says beauty comes from within, not from without. If we are looking on the outward appearance of things, we're not getting the real picture. If that's all that matters, you're not going to get the real picture. It's one thing to have outward beauty, but it's a greater blessing to see inward beauty, a beautiful spirit within someone. But oftentimes, we don't see that. But we need wisdom and we need understanding. In 1 Corinthians, let's notice what God says about the wisdom that's found in this world. In verse 17, it says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. What he said there, these are not my words. Not with wisdoms of man words, but with the word that come from the Lord Jesus Christ. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. As I've explained many times, you cannot change the heart of a fool. Only God can do that. It's not in the ability of the preacher. It's not in the ability of anyone else. You can't take the word of God, and you can't force it down someone's throat, you might say, and have them become a child of God or have interest in God or love God. This is an act, a sovereign act of Almighty God. It's the sovereign work of the Spirit of the Lord in borning someone of His own Spirit. It says, For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. He's talking about worldly wisdom. He's talking about philosophy. He's talking about men who think that they know so much and they can tell you how life really is. The issues of life are found in the Word of God. What can cleanse the way of a young man? To take heed thereunto according to thy word, according in agreement with the Word of God. That's what cleanses a young man's way. That's what makes him do the things that he should do that are God-honoring. We're told to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That means it is the responsibility of parents to train their children, not somebody out here in the secular world. God didn't say it'll be easy. If you don't want to do it, it might be too much trouble, so don't do it. He said to train them up. And that's a wise saying. You know, he tells young people, you know, that corrupt communication, evil communications corrupt good manners. Is that a wise saying? Is there any wisdom in that? You know, if you look at the teachings of that verse, it says worthless companionships destroy good moral habits. You can't hang around the wrong people. You can't do the wrong thing. You can't change them. You'll become like them. That's what that verse teaches. You can't walk upon hot coals and not be burned. But I'll tell you what, just as I was foolish at a young age, many are that way today. They're going to prove me wrong. They're going to prove mom and dad wrong. They're going to even prove God wrong, believe it or not. This I can do. But it's a wide gate and it's a broad way, and somewhere down the line, them folks are going to look back and wish that they had taken heed unto thy word. That is a difference maker in our life. It's a difference maker in our churches and in our nation. In taking heed unto thy word, it's what cleanses the way of a young man, a young woman, is the teachings of God's word. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? These men that think they're so wise in their own minds, that know so much, God says they're nothing but filled with nothing but foolishness. He goes on, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jew a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. Foolishness. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. When we're preaching to folks that are not born of the Spirit of God, it's foolish today and it'll be foolishness tomorrow unless the Lord touches their heart. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ is our strength. Jesus Christ is our wisdom. It is through His word and through His teachings that'll make a difference in our life. It's through His teachings of honoring Him, putting first in our life, that'll help us to separate ourselves from this world and be different. I'm telling you, it's a hard saying to come out from among them and be separate. It is. Most folks want to go with the flow. They want to go with the crowd. They want to do what everybody else is doing. But if we're going to serve God in a proper manner, we can't follow the crowd, can we? We need to separate ourselves from this world. That's what God's word teaches. That's what young people ought to do. When they raise up their children, they need to separate themselves from the world. That's what we need to do as grown-ups. It's a hard thing to do. It's easy to preach and it's hard to live. But it's the truth, as thus saith the Lord. For ye see your calling. Brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God doesn't use men's wisdom to preach His gospel. God doesn't use men's wisdom to determine how things go in life. God is the only wise God. Wisdom belongeth unto the Lord. And it would be a great benefit to each and every one of us to listen to the wisdom that's given to us in God's word. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound those things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, so to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. See, men who are filled with philosophy and wisdom of man, they're big and boasting and glorifying themselves for their great feats. But when you're like Solomon and you go to the Lord in a great state of humility, not knowing how you're going to lead your and direct yourself in life. He was going to be king, but we need the same thing as parents, as grandparents, as brothers and sisters in Christ. We need it in the church as we go forward in life. We all need God's wisdom and we need it in a mighty way. It's what cleanses a man's way. It's in agreement with the Word of God. That is what we need in our lives. We don't need less God. We need more God. We need to put the things of this world away and seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to turn back to Proverbs chapter 1 and begin to look at this. Solomon asked for wisdom, did he not? In the book of James chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, if, that means there's a condition to be met. If any man, if any of you lack wisdom, If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth it liberally to all men. Ask of God. He gives it liberally or bountifully. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Do we lack wisdom? Do you lack wisdom? I know that this past year I've been praying a lot more that God would bless me with wisdom. To pastor the church, to take care of my family, for the work that I do, to set God apart from this world. You know, I pray, God, I'm drawing nigh unto you. Draw nigh unto me. You know, so many people let the world and what's going on in the world be the concentration of their life that it's hard for us to separate ourselves and truly worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's coming a day that every knee will bow to the name of Jesus Christ. There's coming a day that we'll be in heaven and Jesus Christ will be the focus continuously. He ought to be the focus now because he died in our room instead. He gave us a hope that we'd have never had he not come. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we owe him. We owe him to glorify him, to praise him every day that we live. Verse 1 says, the proverb of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. The issues of life, many of them, are brought forth in Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs. It says to give subtlety to the simple. That means prudence to the foolish. It's to give prudence, wisdom, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. To discern between what's right and what's wrong and what's beneficial and what's not. And we get to verse 5, and this is probably as great a definition of wisdom, godly wisdom, as you're going to find. And it's something that you can read and you can apply it to yourself. A wise man will hear. That's the first thing it says. Have you ever been somewhere? I know I was when I grew up in high school. I could sit down and the teacher could begin to get up in front of the room and talk and tell us of all these things. And when that time was over, I couldn't tell you a thing she said. Now, there was some noise going on out there, no doubt about it. She was speaking. But just hearing the noise is not what this verse is talking about. This is a definition of a wise man, a godly man, a man who's received wisdom from God. First thing is, he will hear. He will hear. His heart will hear. His ears are open. His mind is tuned in. You can't believe the amount of people in this world, even in church, that's set in and they're not attentive to the Word of God. They hear the noise and the sounds, the vibration of their eardrums, but it's not soaking in. It's not resonating in one's heart. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. We're told that we ought to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible talks of folks that have went to church for many years. We'll go to 1 Corinthians 3 in a moment and over into Hebrews, where they had been in the church for many years and they were still in spiritual infancy. They were still like babes needing milk. They were not mature. They were not grown up where they could eat meat, strong meat, because they had not cleansed their way. They had not taken heed thereunto according to thy word. The word of God is the biggest difference maker in a person that he'll ever have in his life when he takes heed thereunto according or in agreement with thy word. It is the greatest teacher that we'd have in how to conduct our life. We got these examples out here of God-fearing men and women, and we are to seek them out. But God is the all-wise God. He is full of wisdom. Jesus Christ is our strength. He is our wisdom. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. That first being God. A wise man first is going to have understanding, because he attained unto wise counsel. That's why he understands. Not because he went out here and read a bunch of self-help books or anything else, because he sought wisdom from God. He lacked wisdom, and I believe he began by praying. We're told in the 10th chapter that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it all starts, is God is first. That's where wisdom begins, the real wisdom that we need to conduct our lives, to be separate from everyone else, to raise our children in a world that's not very pleasant to raise them in, that's full of wrong. I tell you what, it takes a lot of effort and a lot of work to raise your children in this world and keep them separated from all the horrible things that are going on out there. It's probably can't totally keep them separate, but we can do the best we can. We can seek God's wise counsel in raising those children and attaining to what they should and shouldn't do. You know, it says that foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction will remove it far from him. But you know, we live in a time where correction is not allowed, not the kind of correction that most of us received when we was children. You know, there's a thing called time out and there's a thing called this, but the rod of correction in my day was the rod of correction. We're told that that will drive foolishness out of a child's heart. And it's something that we need to remember and we need to be concerned about. Now, it goes on to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge is beneficial to your life in every respect, from how you treat one another to how you raise your children to how you separate yourself from this world is important. It makes a difference in your life. It'll make a difference in your children's life. Sometimes we have a hard time making time to attain unto God's word, but it's so important. It's what cleanses a young man's way and what cleanses an old man's way. It's when we're humble and full of humility and we seek God's wisdom that it'll make a difference in our lives. You know, every aspect of life that you deal with is presented to us in the Word of God. We're instructed in how to conduct ourselves in the workplace, in the family, husbands and wives, and raising of our children. There's not anything left out. And God's wisdom is far more valuable than anything man would ever come up with. Matter of fact, a lot of what man comes up with in his wisdom is abomination in the sight of the Lord. It's foolishness. So it is my desire and my prayer that if we lack wisdom, we'd pray for it. Just think about what the Lord said through the Apostle James. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, that means bountifully, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I know that I lack wisdom in a lot of areas in my life, and I need it from God, and I pray for wisdom not only for myself but for my children, because God's wisdom is the most important and the most precious thing I think the child of God can ever have as he lives through this life. You know, Solomon, being that wise man, wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And what that book really is about the meaning of life. And it tells us that if you live life under the sun, that the meaning of life is nothing but vanity and vexation of the spirit. No matter how much noise is going on, no matter how many things you're doing, it's in vain. It's meaningless, is what he's saying. But the word to live life with a view above the sun, where God is seated upon his throne in heaven, where God is first and foremost in our life. That's the wisdom given to us by Solomon, and we see it throughout the Word of God. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Go to the Lord in prayer and ask for God's wisdom in your job, in your family, in your relationships, in the training up of your children, and all the things necessary as we go through life, all the things that we venture out to do. We need God's wisdom to guide us and direct us and to lead us. James says the Lord will give it to us. I know it's in accordance with God's will. We're confident of that. It's in agreement with his will, because we're asking for something, not materialistic, but something to help to honor and to glorify his name by the conduct of our life. It's the right use or exercise of the knowledge that's given to us. The knowledge that we attain from God's word is so beneficial. It would make such a difference in the lives of many if we would seek that wisdom and seek it early. You know, Solomon said in the last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, "Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, When the evil days come not, or the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Young folks, I'm going to tell you, there's coming a day that coming to the house of the Lord and laboring in God's kingdom will be far harder due to the physical afflictions of the body than it was when you were young. And we know there's a lot of wisdom in that because most of us are either living that out or we've seen it lived out. That's why Solomon stressed that there was such a great importance to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You're in your strongest days, your healthiest mind, in times when you can honestly do more in the kingdom and the furtherance of the kingdom of God than you'll ever do in the entirety of your life. You get older and you get weaker. Your body doesn't have the strength it once has. You may have the desire, but the inability to do those things as you once did them. Remember the sayings of Solomon. Study those sayings and understand that God's wisdom will direct you in the right paths. God is right and correct in all that he says. But it goes on, and I'll close with this. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. In other words, continue to ask. Be strong in asking God consistently to give you the wisdom that you need to direct your life. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Tossed to and fro. You know, we need to ask being faithful. Jesus told the man in Mark chapter 9, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Do you believe that if you lack the wisdom to conduct your life in a God-fearing way, that God will grant that to you if you ask? Do you really believe that? You know, sometimes we believe in Jesus Christ, but we don't believe in what he says. And we don't take what he says and apply it to our lives. But the person who has been given wisdom, such as Solomon, and Solomon's wisdom wavered in the latter days of his life, but as a young man in a humble spirit, he sought God's wisdom to help him direct the children of Israel as their king. And friends, it would benefit our young people and old people alike to constantly seek the wisdom of God, which is found beginning in his word. It would strengthen us. It would direct our paths, and it would give us a light and a hope that we can never find in this world. The world will tell you there's hope out here, but there's an end to that hope. But the hope of God has no ending. There'll never be an ending to that hope. One day you'll be transformed into heaven or transferred into heaven, however we call it. You'll go there and you'll be with the Lord. And the hope will be fulfilled that you've had all the days of your life. And that's a day that we all look forward to when that day comes. Let us pray. Let us ask God for the wisdom that we lack. May God bless you is my prayer. I hope that God will use these words as a benefit to each and every one of us.